Hey, influencer, welcome back to part two of our interview with content marketing manager Steve Toth. And in case if you missed part one yesterday, you'll definitely want to go back and download that one as well, because Steve shared so much good information about all things SEO and how to create an effective blogging strategy and also how to repurpose your old content the right way. And today, in part two, you'll get to hear whether or not you should really give away your best content for free. And what about paying for traffic to your free content? Is it a good idea or not so much? We also talked about how to track your ads per media channel and how to get new reviews for your brick and mortar through Google Maps. Steve also talked about the future of customer service for companies and SEO versus paid search for the best return on investment. So, without any further ado, here's Steve Toth. This is Esther Kish.
And this is Meta Muller.
And you just caught the latest episode of Born to Influence, the marketing show.
So when a client comes to you with help for blogging and or content marketing in general, what's the process? What do you start off with and what do you take the client through and how do you work with the client in that way?
Well, one of the things, like in the book Utility, as you probably know, that the forward talks about Marcus Sheridan and how he had that pool and spa companies and how he kind of went down during the recession, had no business, and basically sat at his kitchen table and wrote down every question a customer has ever asked him and created that into a blog post. So that's definitely one thing for sure that I encourage all clients to do, is to write down those questions and to keep sending those to us, because those, you know, help so much. Another thing that we do is we have a questionnaire that goes out to each client that's fairly in depth, that talks about, you know, how their business generally breaks down, demographics, some psychographic information in there, and we use that to help shape the content. We'll have a dedicated account manager to each account, so they'll have monthly meetings, and oftentimes I'll sit in on those to brainstorm and get ideas as well.
Mm-hmm. So it is it you or is it the client writing the content with your support, or how exactly does it work?
It can work both ways. More often the times we find that, you know, everybody's so busy, right? Like, that's the one thing that most businesses tend to sort of, max out employees' time with the things that, you know, really can concretely drive revenue, you know, servicing clients, making sure products are delivered on time and stuff, things of that nature. So they kind of look at blogging and they say, well, where is the where is the direct benefit? So it's hard to justify hiring a person full time just to do that. So in general, me as a content marketing manager job is to really get to know the client's business, and then I work with a network of writers who have different specialties, and we create content, and I'm there to ensure that the quality is there, and that, you know, if there are necessary revisions to be made, that they're made, and that the client is happy with all of that.
So what about if you have a client that has a fairly sort of technical business? I mean, one thing is hot tubs. I'm sure that most of us can answer whether we can have sex in a hot tub somewhat creatively. but what about if you have a more sort of technically based or more specialized business where it almost actually requires the business owner to be writing this? What do you do?
That's a great question. So we have a client that does like hydraulic and pneumatic pumps for like lubrication for like heavy machinery and stuff like that. So I had this on my desk and I was like, oh, what am I gonna do with this, right? So And actually, so for me, like the way I solved the problem was I actually looked on YouTube. So it turns out on YouTube there's like lots of like sort of academic instructions on like how pneumatic pumps work and all this stuff. So I just said, wow, like this information is all on YouTube. Can we just sort of write this and make this part of the website's content? You know, not ripping it off verbatim or anything like that, but using it as a tool to help educate myself and the writer in creating that. So that was one way that we did it. And obviously, so if there's something like that, you've got to charge more than you would charge for a hot tub cover.
Of course. What could you mention one blog post that came out of that?
That client actually doesn't have a blog, but they just have, it's just their website content. I don't know if they're, if they've signed on to do a blog full time, but they do have, you know, like just simple questions like, you know, why do hydraulic pumps fail, right? And that is a question that people do ask. And our site on the page, it goes through pretty much in detail, like a blog post would, about why that is the case.
Yeah. So what about if you're a service-based business? If you're not offering a product as such, but you're offering a more intangible service, what do we do?
Like let's say like, you know, if you were a coach or a consultant or something
exactly.
like that, right?
Exactly.
So in that case, you know, it's interesting. Like for that, you know, when a client comes to us, you know, it's not just, you know, SEO is your answer to all your problems. It's, you know, it's actually going to look at, say, what is the best, you know, solution for you, right? So blogging, although it's good in that terms, you know, I also listened to your interview with Alan Weiss and where he talked about, you know, how consulting is, it should just be based on word of mouth, right? And that's the ultimate sort of endorsement and the way, you know, you really become successful in that world. And I actually tend to agree with him quite a bit. But you know, if you're doing that, I would suggest building your audience with your Facebook page, and then using Facebook as a channel to get your ideas out there. So you know, that blogging strategy may be a little bit different from the other ones that I've talked about. But if you have really good content, and you know, it's kind of like the thing about you know, being okay with giving away the farm to your clients, and just sort of, you know, sharing all the knowledge you have, not worrying about a competitor stealing your content, not worrying about a client suddenly, you know, deciding to go with somebody else because they saw that content, or, you know, that you might lose customers or that your competition might start using your tactics. The benefits of being open and transparent far outweigh the sort of benefits of keeping your content and your sort of ideas really close. So, you know, I would look at targeting, you know, really know your audience, know their buyer personas, and then write the content that's targeted towards that will catch their eye on social.
Yeah. And just as a comment to your, you know, it's okay to give away the farm. I was just talking to my very adorable mother the other day, and I think she'd heard an episode or something on Born to Influence, and she said, "Oh, be careful! Don't give all your you know, golden nuggets away."
I had the same conversation with my mother-in-law. I had the exact same conversation with my mother-in-law. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that is conventional thinking that. That people come to us for the sort of specific information that we have. And what I did end up telling my mother is, well, people come to me for my brain and the way that my brain works, and the addition that I can give to people just because I have a certain way of analyzing, I have a certain creative process, and so forth. And I'm sure that that's the same for other people. Or if it's product-based businesses, well, it's not so much the knowledge part that they come for. It's the fact that you're helping other people out. Also, it's trusting. It's it's creating trust that, oh, this person actually knows her stuff.
Absolutely.
And this person is not afraid to give that out. Therefore, if I buy from them, I will also get a bit of extra knowledge.
Of course, yes.
Because they're open to that. What do you think?
I think they're going to get that extra knowledge that's specific to their business, and that's really what they're after, and all the other stuff is just trust earning. And if I could just add one more thing to that, if you're not going to give the information away, somebody else is. So that person who's out there searching for that, they're going to find it somewhere else. So that's really, you know, the world we live in, and it actually just makes good business sense to do that, and then really, you know, make them create a desire for a person to work with you, and you know, that's when you sort of, you know, you convert that person into not just a follower but also a client.
Yeah, exactly. I was just reading one of Justin Brooks, the traffic strategist, one of his blog posts about, you know, what to look out for in 2014. And one of the things that he said was, and I don't remember the name now, but I think he called it something like content advertising or something like that. But the idea is that, well, today we have to start mixing content with paid advertising, just because it has gotten quite noisy. It is difficult, search rank and so forth. Facebook, I think we're down to like 12% of our posts being shown in the newsfeed and so forth. What's your take on combining content marketing, so in this case blogging, for example, or creating other forms of content like videos and so forth, with pay-per-click advertising?
You know, that is a good question. I personally tend to see that you know, if we want to, like, it's hard to say because we have a huge team of people, you know, trying to rank our site, you know, and we do rank quite well for a lot of internet marketing related terms. Great. you know, we do well with that, but that's not the reality for everybody, right? So, if your content, you know, you've got a great video where you talk about, you know, business coaching or like how to make it as a local business advertising, for example, and some really amazing strategies that you can do for that, and people are searching for those terms, then it's all about, you know, what are you taking home at the end of the day, and how much is that click costing? So, you know, if you've got 100 people clicking your ad, that's costing you $100, 10 people actually contacting you, and then one person becoming a sale, well, that's $100 cost per lead. Is that worth it to you? Then if that's the case, if you're making, say, 300, 400, 500, or way more out of that, then definitely go for it. But if you're not going to be making more than your cost per lead, then, you know, it might be a good thing to just experiment with, see how it works, but not to go too far deep into it.
Right. So we're really looking at the sales side of the content that you're bringing out. If you're just paying for random people to read your blog and maybe comment and so forth, that does get a bit expensive. But if the people who read your blog actually get taken somewhere else through your marketing and sales funnel, then that starts to make sense. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you can also pair that with other strategies like remarketing or retargeting, right? Mm-hmm. So a person lands on your page and then, you know, they'll be have that ad shown to them throughout the Google Display Network or even, you know, on Facebook through something like AdRoll. You know, you can take it up a notch too. You can ask that person for their email address to watch your video or whatever, and then you've got the potential to do a really successful drip marketing campaign. But again, you have to really analyze your numbers and do, you know, be prepared to spend, you know, a few $100 and just to prove it out and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, there's always another strategy that you can employ.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned in the beginning of this interview when you were talking about TechWise, you mentioned AdLuge, which is that what can help us to measure the ROI of our marketing strategies and so forth?
Or? Yeah, so AdLuge, what it does is it's some code on your website, and then it's a full customer relationship management, and the platform's actually expanding quite a bit. But just for the purpose of what you're asking, yes, it does help that measure that ROI. So it can take things like the organic traffic that you had, and how much did you actually close sales out of that, or is it paid search that that is helping drive the most qualified leads for you? And then you can also take it through to your offline advertising and have like a special URL or a phone call tracking number. So phone call tracking is actually a really smart thing to do if you're a business owner. Because you can attribute, people who don't email you, for example, will call you. And so say somebody accesses your site through a paid ad, that phone number will actually change on your website when the person enters, and then you'll be able to attribute that phone call to your paid search advertising. And you'll be able to do the same thing with, say, you do a billboard or a newspaper ad or anything like that. You can put a call tracking number on there and then really get a good sense of how valuable this is to you.
Right. So one billboard will have one phone number and another billboard will have another phone number, so you know exactly which one brought the most people.
Yeah, you can do that. You can go that specific as well to see, hey, what message actually resonated with people. There might be a few other factors to consider there, in terms of the location of that billboard and whatnot, but you can do that. For us, we tend to, say you have like a radio ad or a billboard, we tend to break it out by those general mediums. So paid search, SEO, billboard, display mm-hmm. advertising.
Okay, so it's not okay, right? So you know which channel is bringing it in, instead of necessarily. Because I was also thinking on a radio show, you're gonna have to every single day you have to renew your link or something like that in order to really sounds a bit messy. What about what are your suggestions for people who do want to get more into offline advertising? What do we need to look out for, and what's working the best at the moment on the offline arena?
Well, I think really just let's say you have a store, providing exceptional customer service, number one. Yeah. Absolutely. That's where you have that personal connection. Like I've been to this restaurant now a couple times for lunch, and it seems like every time I leave, like the cashier calls everybody like darling or whatever, right? Like it actually comes off quite sincere, but now it's been like a different cashier each time calling us like darling or honey or whatever it is, like, and it could come off very inauthentic, but it actually tends to work, I think, on a lot of people. I think a lot of people are oblivious to that. But besides just little gimmicky things like that, it's about having your salespeople being super knowledgeable, not wanting to just sell a person on a product because it's you go into a store, and for me, like one of my passions are headphones, and I went into the store the other day while I was actually on vacation, and the one that the salesperson tried to sell me was obviously like the most expensive one, where I knew a lot about headphones already, and I was like, these ones aren't that good, and I'm gonna go for ones that I've actually researched myself. So having somebody who's knowledgeable, offering incentives to your customers, like let's say being really creative, and I don't know if they have this in Denmark, but where in Toronto and in Canada we have a thing called Movember, where you grow a mustache, and I did one this November, and there's a store here that gave away like free ice cream for anybody who's got a mustache, and things like that tend to differentiate you are just gonna really create that positive word of mouth, and that's I think one of the biggest things offline that you can do to really make your business successful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I always need to like relay it back to internet marketing just a little bit. Asking your customers for reviews is a huge thing. Because when you're searching for Italian restaurant online, you're going to go with the one that has the most reviews and the best reviews, right? So mm-hmm. my secret little tip for that is for in terms of Google reviews, we've run into a problem where you need to have a Google Plus account to leave a review. And that's a huge barrier to entry for a lot of people because they're like, oh, I don't want to sign up for Google Plus just to leave your review. Forget about it, right?
Yeah.
But actually, if you ask people to leave a review through the Google Maps application on their iPhone or Android, they actually don't need a Google Plus account. All they need to be is logged into some Google product, be it YouTube, be it Gmail, and they can go to Maps, search for your business, and then leave a review really easily through through their iPhone or Android, like I said. So, that's just a super easy way. You've just pleased a customer. They're like, oh, thank you. This is awesome. This is going to make a great gift for my husband or whatever it may be. And be like, hey, if you don't mind just leaving us a review using your phone and Google Maps, that'd be great.
I like that. And I like that it's quite easy. We tend to, whenever anyone compliments this podcast, we always ask people to leave a review. But most of the time, we have to send a video along because leaving a review on iTunes, it's not always the easiest thing.
Yeah.
to figure out. So I'm glad that the Google Maps makes it easier for offline businesses here.
I'll take a look at the iTunes review thing and just see if I see anything in there that will reduce the barrier to entry. Just I'll take a look myself. So.
Oh, that would be great. Let me know. Cause
no, you guys are doing awesome so far. I'm loving it. So I'm definitely telling friends about it, and I'm sure you'll get a few reviews along the way from people I know.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. So who are your mentors? Who do you turn to for inspiration?
That's a good question. There's definitely some people that I've worked with over the years who have, really respected their ideas and love their writing. In terms of, I can say a few companies that I really admire and the people who work within them. One is Moz.com. They're just like an amazing.
Can you spell that?
Moz.com, sorry. Mm-hmm. For your US listeners. And they're a software product that helps with SEO, and they just do amazing stuff. There's this guy named Rand Fishkin who every Friday he does something called Whiteboard Fridays, and they're so smart, and they give you such practical advice. And if you want to know what the deal is with SEO and how to stay current, just watch Whiteboard Friday every week, and you're off to a great start. There's a few other companies out there that I really admire and respect. One is Portent, P-O-R-T-E-N-T, and another one, Distilled, out of New York. They're amazing. Those are the kind of people in my industry who I look up to and who I aspire to be as good or better. That's a big feat, but definitely in terms of that, it's like more companies that I look to. And, of course, I'm HubSpot. Can't forget them. HubSpot just does amazing stuff too. So they're awesome, and we have so much to learn from them as well.
Yeah. Plus, they're really entertaining as well, which I really like. It's definitely not dry marketing that we're getting from HubSpot. So I'm a fan as well.
Make content that customers love, or like that's their kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And if you have a mantra like that, and they've got tons of great people there. They just are so awesome with their content. I mean, like if you sign up with HubSpot, they'll create an ebook for you that you can white label and then say, hey, this is a great ebook my company created. Just going above and beyond like that for their clients, or just whether or not you'd want to do that, and you think it's kind of shady to say that it's somebody else's ebook and now it's branded as your company, but just to the point that they go out and create these templates for infographics and just all this great stuff for you and ready made and packaged for you. It just shows you, gives you a lot of inspiration how you can be for your clients as well.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And you know what? Talking about the exact opposite, I was just, one of my really good friends just sent me a link to an article about sales robots and how certain, I think this was an example of a medical company or something like that, where they've got artificial sales robots as salespeople. So I'm guessing, and there was this, if I can find the article link, I'll send it to you. It was quite interesting. And they had a recorded, so this, I think a journalist or something had called in to talk to one of their salespeople, and the conversation, it sounded like a quote-unquote normal conversation. It did sound a little robotic, but they must have programmed this robot in such a way that they had an answer for every single thing. And so this journalist or whoever it was that called in asked, "Are you a robot?" And the robot actually answered, "No, I am human." So, you know, hats off to the research that these guys have made. But do you think that is ever going to work, automatic sales robots?
Well, you know, you certainly see it when we call a company and you have to go through a series of robots to tell the credit card company you're going on vacation, right? Like you've got to press 3 to do this or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly that's going to save companies labor. And I think that's really what it comes down to for them. But, you know, I may see that more in the customer service area where people are already a customer. But I'd also caution people to use that as well, because you might have an angry customer who thinks the last thing that they want to do is have to talk to a robot. So I really don't see that as being, you know, overtaking customer service in general. But what I do see is a lot of customer service being outsourced to places like the Philippines or India, for example. So, you know, and that's not to say that may rub some people the wrong way, but that's not to say that I think that's still a vast improvement over using a robot.
Oh, yes. So aside from Jay Baer's Utility, what other books would you recommend for our listeners that they read right now in order to become better and more influential marketers?
Sure. So one of my other favorites is, it was published a couple of years ago. It was actually published by Google, and it's called The Zero Moment of Truth. And it's actually a really interesting concept to get your head around, and it really highlights the need to do a more holistic marketing approach, you know, with online, offline reviews and testimonials and all that stuff. And what it basically distills down to is that, you know, looking before the internet, there were two moments of truth a marketer had to win in the customer's mind. And, you know, that first moment was customers at the store, they see the product on the shelf, they, you know, may think of an advertisement, they may look at the packaging, they look at the price, and they think, hey, you know what, I'll take a chance here, I'll buy this product. So that's the first moment of truth. The second moment of truth is when they actually take that product home, say, hey, this is, you know, these are really great cookies or whatever, and I actually would buy these again, and I would recommend these to my friends as well. So, you know, there was those two moments that, you know, if you could win, you could win a customer for life potentially. Now, you know, we have this zero moment of truth, which are, you know, the extent to which people can research a product online before they even buy it, right? So, you know, they're going maybe on your website, on your social media. They may go to a site that lists like the top 10, and you just happen to be in one of them. You know, they can look at your offline advertising. They can look at your storefront. There are so many different things that influence people's buying decisions now that, you know, it's no longer as simple as it once was, and it's really important for you to look at all the different avenues you can target. And obviously you have to look within your budget, you know, you have to be realistic. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, don't put all your eggs in one basket, because you're going to end up missing a lot of people who are on that sort of zero moment of truth journey. And that's actually a free book that you can just get online. Cool. So if you Google it, you'll find it. And if you Google what is Zmod, I think one of my blogs comes up there on the first page too, with a video of me talking about it. So
excellent.
Added value to the post.
Perfect. So if you were, and actually let me just, before I forget, I'm very, very, very happy to be hearing dogs in the background.
Yeah.
It's always cats, because Esther has cats, and we've got a lot of cat lovers as listeners, but I'm a dog lover, and I actually just posted out on Facebook the other day, where are all the dog lovers?
He's a rat. I considered putting him downstairs where he sleeps. He sleeps in the basement, which has a nice, big, huge couch for his size. But then I thought, you know, he'd be a good boy. So there's only a couple barks out of him.
That's perfect. We like guests.
He's right here, in case you want to see him.
Oh, hi.
He's a good boy.
Oh, all right. So if you know, we only got a couple of minutes left, and I do have two more questions to ask you. The first one is, if you're an offline business that has not gone online, maybe they've got a website, but that's kind of it. What would the, you know, the three first things be that they need to do in order to get online and actually, you know, get a return of investment on the work that they're doing online?
Okay, so that it's a bit of a tough question because like there's not a specific type of business, but if we let's say for example, you're a dentist who just has this really great location. You've got all these walk-in traffic. You've done fairly well for yourself. The first thing I would do is to enhance your website. If you had your website done, you know, even 3 years ago, 4 years ago, just depending on who did it, it could have been done last year, and it's just really brutal. Get your website redesigned by a pro. Like, make sure it's SEO friendly as well. You know, you may want to look at, since, you know, that might be a higher margin type customer, doing paid search right off the bat, because like I said before, SEO does take time. It can take anywhere from 3 months to 6 months, depending on how competitive your area is, your niche. So doing some paid search right off the bat could potentially, help you get more customers in the door from day one rather than having to wait. It's all about choosing the right people to work with, in my opinion. You know, I would suggest to go and meet with somebody locally. Actually go to their office, see, you know, who they are, get to meet some of their team, you know, get to build a rapport and a level of trust with them. And then you can make sure that the type of marketing they do is going to be the best thing for you and not just the only thing they offer, and therefore you must do it.
Of course, of course. I think that's great. So my final question here, what do we as business owners and as entrepreneurs need to do in our marketing in order to become more influential in this world?
I think you have to differentiate yourself a little bit. You know, like you have, people are naturally going to be sort of, you know, window shoppers, going to be doing early stages of the buying cycle and then top of the funnel kind of thing. They're going to be, you know, comparing you to other people, right? And that's, you know, it's not even like, you know, you offer the same price, one may be more expensive. Faster to deliver something. Really what makes it different? You know, is it that like lifetime return policy, like a company like L.L. Bean would have, like where you can basically return a product at any point in your life and they'll send you something back? Another company that I love, which is Grado Headphones, also does the same thing. You can literally take the headphones that your dog ate for breakfast and then send them back, and they'll send you a new pair without any questions asked. The types of stories and word of mouth that things like that create, really, you know, it's hard to measure that, but they definitely do pay big dividends. So I'd say one of the keys is, you know, differentiating yourself, and then your influence will extend, cast a wider net.
I love that. Thank you so much, Steve, for all of your wonderful tips and tricks and techniques and information and knowledge. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, that concludes this interview with Steve Todd. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you want to find out more about Steve's work, you can go to the content marketing agency's website that he works with. It's called TechWise. TechWise, techwise.com. And if you want to find all the links to the resources that we talked about in this interview, you can go to the show notes page, which is at borntoinfluence.com/StevToth. And if you have any questions for Steve, just leave it in the comments section there, and I'll be sure to ask him to come on over and answer it for you. All right? And otherwise, I'll see you on Monday with a brand new interview. Same time, same place.